I think that's the gravel bag. Great pleasure to speak to you, Richard, and you, all yours. Thank you so much, my friend.
My cardiologist is on the way over. He's he's concerned about my blood pressure. But of course. Hello, Dr. Jacobson. Just good to see you all here. It's, what is it, 9 points above normal? Okay, good. Not too bad. Okay, anyway, back to where we were. Okay, so, in 2005, the winter of 2005, I was at a DA meeting, and I heard a woman say that she had never overcome under-earning until she had worked the steps. And at that moment, it's amazing how your life could just change in a moment. And at that moment, I said, there just has to be a UA. And what was good about it, I wasn't going after a consensus. I wasn't saying, let me take a survey and ask people, you know, should there be a UA, or take a poll or take a vote. I said, no, there has to be a UA. Now, I really didn't know what that actually meant. I had no idea what I was even talking about. I just knew there had to be a UA, which is, again, in terms of vision, you know, as they say, a car can go around the world only seeing, you know, 20, 30 feet in front of it. Let's make it 50 feet in front of it. And that was about it. I really didn't see what that actually entailed or what that even meant. But the feeling was so strong. I brought it up to my little DA, BDA group at NIAC, and we had known each other for a couple of years, which, you know, God works in mysterious and mysterious ways. During that time, we had bonded in a way that you can't in New York City because you've got such a transitional population base of people, 30, 40 different people each week in a meeting. In NIAC, that wasn't the case. We had the same four or five people there for years, and we had all gotten to know each other. So I said to them, listen, guys, there really has to be this UA thing, and, you know, under-earning is separate from debting. Now, there may be an interaction, but there's an interaction between, you know, being Al-Anonic and being an alcoholic, or being a drug user and being an alcoholic, you know, being an alcoholic, or being a gambler and being a drug user. You know, these things interact. But I said, the disease of under-earning needs its own fellowship, and they didn't know what exactly that meant in terms of this UA thing. So they said, well, why don't you just go and write the symptoms and tools by yourself and come back and just tell us what the symptoms and tools of this addiction are. And so I did, and I had known about Jerry's book, Earn What You Deserve, and that gave me some format. So I went back to my apartment in NIAC, and I was reading Jerry's book, and it, you know, books can generate new ideas, and it made me look at my own life and understand how the symptoms related to me. Certainly, you know, not to go into it in detail right now, we'll be doing that a little later, but the whole idea of false symptoms of illness, physical illness, came out of an acting class that I was in NIAC, because every Sunday night at 8 p.m., I would become mentally ill. But by 9:15, I had achieved a total recovery. So I realized that the disease was so strong that it was creating the illusion that I was sick, whereas at best I wasn't. I was afraid of being visible. One thing I can say, this is probably one of the most important things I'm going to say during this whole workshop, is that hiding is the alcohol of UA. And if people can write that down, hiding is the alcohol of UA. And that's really what we're recovering from. We're recovering from compulsive hiding, which is different from one person to another. And we'll go into why, how, and how to get out of it. But that's basically what UA is really about. Now, does that affect earning? Absolutely. Hiding definitely affects earning. I mean, right now in the United States, there are millions of people who are sequestered in their apartment or their house who are not earning. But
5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. so basically, one thing I want to talk about before we get to the end of the section, I'm actually working with a format here, is that we have in UA, as in any 12-step fellowship, and this is for people who are new to the 12-step process, we have 5 character defects and we have 5 character assets. So when we go into a fellowship, and UA is no different from any other, we're looking at our 5 character defects, and they are self-centered fear, self-seeking, selfishness, dishonesty, and inconsideration. Our 5 character assets with recovery are God-centered faith, faith-seeking, honesty, and consideration, and generosity. 5 character defects is self-centered fear, between us and us, self-seeking, seeking out really bad ways of being, selfishness, dishonesty, and inconsideration, first directed toward ourselves, then our families, then our workplace, and then even the community. Character assets, God-centered faith, faith-seeking toward ourselves and our relationship with a higher power, honesty, consideration, and generosity to our families, the workplace, and the larger community. So we're going in any 12-step fellowship from our character defects all the way to our character assets. On the other hand, we're never cured. So to keep in character asset land, we've got to keep coming back because we are never cured. We get a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Again, for people who are new to the 12-step world out there in phone land, this is not an intellectual recovery. It is a spiritual recovery. And the reason why is because we all come to the 12-step world, you know, based on having abuse and neglect. We were either hit, yelled, abandoned, incested, frozen out, kicked out, demeaned, made to feel less than, struggle for love, struggle for happiness, struggle for security, left alone, feeling lonely, feeling that everything was a competition, and you name it. There's a writer that, his name was Dostoevsky, and he basically said that all healthy families are the same, but all sick families are different. And we all come from different types of sick families. So that's how we've gotten here. So it's no different being here than in the beverage fellowship or the packaged goods fellowship, which is the drug thing, food, gambling, workaholism. We all come for the spiritual recovery of these fellowships and to embrace the ideology that each fellowship espouses. And that's what UA is about. It's about learning to come out of hiding, and which comes from our character defects, and go into prosperous visibility. Does that always mean money? Not always. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it means less money, but it could mean a better work-life balance. Sometimes it could mean less money, but being more alive and happy about the reality we're waking up to every day. And of course, sometimes it could mean both. It could mean a great work-life balance, loving the reality we're waking up to every day, and more money. So it's really up to the individual. Everyone's recovery in UA is customized. It's different. What's recovery for you, it may not be recovery for me. And that's how we really differ from the abstinence fellowships, which are basically saying, did you pick up a bottle of booze? Did you pick up some ganja? You did? Hey, you're a winner. It's not that way here. It's all about being interdependent. It's about working with others. It's about taking actions, bite-sized actions towards our visions. It's about having action meetings. It's about getting out of the fog, out of our head regarding the day and moving ahead in time. And, of course, valuing time. Is that the end of this 10-minute section, guys?
Time.
See, I beat you by 3 seconds. Okay, so we're going to talk about now understanding the symptoms of under-earning and the 3 core museum states. that everyone that I know brings into UA. I'll tell you a little bit about Museum States. About 2014, I was working with a sponsee, and she kept on saying that she sought out being a victim, and she kept on being in a situation where she was made to feel less than enough, and she always felt that getting money was a struggle. And I just looked at her, and I said, oh, those are your Museum States. And I didn't know what I meant, but it just came out of me. That's how often ideas happen. They just come out of process. And she sees it, like a light bulb went off in her head. She said, yeah, Museum States. Now, why are they called Museum States? They're called Museum States because we're the curators of them. In other words, we keep them alive, we keep them polished, we keep them dusted off, and we even do this while we may hate them, while we may dislike them. So the paradox of Museum States, which I'll show you in 2 minutes how they go into the symptoms of UA, so you know where they came from. The paradox is that we may not like them, but we are protective of them. We're the curators of them. And why? Because that's how we felt growing up, that we retreat into them to feel like home. Now, this is the second quote that I'd like everyone to write down. It's really important. And again, it's one of the most important things I'm going to say. And if it's the one thing you remember from this workshop, your time, I guarantee, will have been well spent. It's a thought that you may have suspected, but I will guess that you never really thought through. But I have, and this is a thought. When we beat ourselves up, we're leaving life. I'll say it again. When we beat ourselves up, we are leaving life. When we build ourselves up, we are staying in life. Now, I'm going to throw in another word, unconditionally. So when we beat ourselves up unconditionally, from anything from spilling the milk to blowing a sail, we're leaving life. When we build ourselves up, from anything to tying our shoe to making coffee, we're staying in life. What is life? Life is always the simple tasks in front of us. However, why do we beat ourselves up? Because of our number one character defect, self-centered fear. And it's always fear of losing what we have, not getting what we want. So what do? We run back to our Museum States, which manifests in the symptoms. There are about 10 Museum States, but for the sake of this workshop, I'm only going to list, at this point, 3. Maybe in the latter part, in the question and answer, I'll go through another 4 or 5, but I find that simplicity is often the best in introducing a new concept. So the first Museum State that everyone I know in UA has is the less thaner, seeking out to feel less than enough. The second Museum State is the struggle-aholic, that we have, because we have to struggle for love, affection, approval, we have adopted struggle as a life philosophy. The third is the crumb-aholic, meaning a person who really is pushing away the whole loaf, and they say, no, just give me a couple of crumbs. Of course, these do not seem logical. They certainly are not going to be something that we're going to hear about in some motivational lecture, but why would we do that? Why would we seek out being a less than a struggle-aholic, a crumb-aholic? Well, the reason why is because we often were raised feeling less than enough, as I was, struggling for love or even a compliment here and there. And then what we would get is crumbs, like a grudging compliment or, yeah, you're all right. You know, you got a C minus on your report card. Yeah, whatever. Can't you be like your sister? You know, that type of stuff that we hear for years and years and years. So we're going to talk about 3 Museum States, crumb-aholic, struggle-aholic, and less manner. These are the symptoms of UA. And I'm going to list because that was a little repetitive, but at least the ideas will come through and be in everyone's noodle. Time indifference. We put up what must be done, and we do not use our time to support our own vision and further our goals. Okay? Time indifference. Less thaner. We don't feel enough. Struggleaholic. We don't want to bother because we feel to struggle. And crumbaholic. We figured we're going to have crumbs out of it, so why even consider the process of time? Why would we even consider that time is a commodity that each day we live, we actually have less of, scary as that may be. Okay, number two. Is that five?
Yes.
Okay. Idea deflection. We compulsively reject ideas that could expand our lives or careers and increase our profitability. Okay, that's certainly, we reject ideas. Well, if I'm giving less than enough, I'm sticking that out. Why should I, consider an idea? Because I'm thinking of feeling less than enough. And if I do get the idea again, I'll just get crumbs, because that's the toxic philosophy that people coming into UA have embraced. Compulsive need to prove, number three. Although we have demonstrated competence in our jobs and businesses, we are driven by a need to reprove our worth and value. Well, there you go. If we're struggleholic and less thaner, I need to always struggle to prove to you that I could do this thing. You know, I mean, I'm not really feeling like I'm enough, so let me just struggle and prove to you that something I've done, 200 times, plow the lower 48 or bring in $10,000 worth of sales. Compulsive need to prove. Cling to useless possessions. We hold on to possessions that no longer serve our needs, such as threadbare clothing or broken appliances. That's one of the ideas that came out of reading Jerry's book about holding on to a pair of shoes that should be thrown out, or putting a Band-Aid on our glasses, or having a sock with a hole in it but tucking it under our big toe. Why would we do that? Well, again, if we're feeling less than enough, think about less than, I'm seeking out feeling less than enough, I'm seeking out struggle, and I'm seeking out crumbs. So how could clinging to possessions be more perfect for those three museum states? Exertion, exhaustion. We habitually overwork, become exhausted, then overwork or cease working completely. What's the first one with that? Struggle. That's a big one that keeps that being a struggleholic. Giving away our time. We compulsively volunteer for various causes to give away our services without charge and when there is no clear benefit. Fine, if I'm seeking out the museum state of less than enough, what am I worth? I'm less than. I expect crumbs anyway, so I don't care if I get anything out of this. Get this thing called time. Besides, Einstein said time doesn't even exist. So I'll volunteer, because I'm not enough. I don't really expect enough. And we'll probably fill in a little struggle, too, just to fill in that thing. Undervaluing and underpricing. We undervalue our abilities and services if you're asking for increases in compensation or for what the market will bear. Again, struggleholic, crumbaholic, less thaner. Struggleholic, crumbaholic, less thaner. That's what we're seeking out, which breathes life into symptoms number seven, and of course the other six as well. Number eight, isolation. We choose to work alone when we might serve as better to have coworkers, associates, or employees. Certainly, struggleholic. Let's get lonely and struggle in our vision and not have any support from anyone. Let's not get any assistance from anyone. That'll create even better struggle. Physical ailments. Sometimes out of fear of being larger or exposed, we experience physical ailments. Certainly less thaner. I'm not enough. I don't want to show up. Like in my case, 15 years ago, I don't want to show up in my acting class. So the disease will say, fine, well, you can see how you're feeling sick. And that way you don't have to go. A misplaced guilt and shame. We feel uneasy for asking or being given what we need for what we are owed. Less fatter, struggleholic. Oh, don't pay me what I'm owed. Just give me a couple of crumbs. Was that time? I'm going to take another minute. 1 minute? Okay. Not following up. We do not follow up on opportunities, leads, or jobs that could be profitable. We begin many projects and tasks, but often do not complete them. Less fatter, struggleholic, crumbaholic. Why should I follow up? Because I'm seeking out feeling less than enough because I'm afraid of being in life. So I'm taking refuge in this horrible state, but at least I'll stay in my little dark experiential cave and not follow up on something that could put me out there in abundance into the community. And stability board, and we create unnecessary conflict with coworkers, supervisors, and clients, generating problems that result in financial distress. And I'm going to throw in one new museum state for that, which is the rageaholic, where our fear, we will become angry at the top. We will yell first and ask questions later. Okay, cool. We got through that. All right, now we have 10 minutes, questions and answers.